guessed that when you have a title like Family Security, I'm not going to be discussing alarm systems for your house. You probably figured that out already. What I am going to discuss is a subject that you would imagine wouldn't need further discussion. And that is because it's been spoken about time and time again in the community. There have been major asifas about these topics. And much to my surprise and perhaps chagrin, some reason the message is not getting across to everybody, simply because the issue is so overwhelming and the eitzes that are given are good eitzes, but sometimes not possible for all people to follow. And I will say a few disclaimers before we begin, and that is that if you're married, if you're single, if you plan on getting married, if you have children, if you are the children listening in the audience, this is nogea to everybody. If you think from the first few minutes of the shiur you heard everything there is to tell, I doubt it. And if you have, it'll be a good chizuk. If you don't need it, pass it on to somebody else. I've been a rav a while already, and I've encountered different issues in the communities which need focus and tikkun. What I've seen in the last 5-6 years, and each year gets worse than the year before, is lo yumen ki yesuper in terms of the damage being done. If I could borrow the expression, I'll call it the silent killer. It's very silent, very private, and very deadly. Years back, when they had many asifas, they still have them once in a while, maybe more in communal levels, but they had one recently in Flappish I'm not aware of, when they used to bring Rav Matasyo Shlita to talk about the dangers of media influences and specifically internet use in the house. We had, I'm sure you remember, these are huge asifas, thousands of people there. I'm sure many of you attended. I always took the liberty to interview many of the Choshev Mispalim and Balabatim and Lamdanim and Kli Kodesh who came out of the Asifa to ask them for the reaction. What are we going to do about it? Some comment. Often what I heard, these are from very intelligent people who apparently are clueless. What I've heard was that, you know, it's probably a sob problem in somebody's home, but not in my backyard. That's always a classic. And then I heard comments like, with all due respect to the Lakewood Mashkiach, but he must be exaggerating a little bit to scare us out of our wits. Not only is he not exaggerating, he is, and always is, whenever he speaks about this, underreporting the problem. And he's doing that because if he does more, rightfully so, he's afraid that people will accuse him of exaggerating. Whatever I hear, whatever any other Rav hears, he hears Pishnayim or Sholosh. And I will tell you that Kemat, not a week goes by when I don't have to deal with a Shalom Bayis problem or a problem in Chinuch Habanim Rabbanus, or, and this has a positive note, a bacher that will call me up, a very fine bacher, at least what is left of a very fine bacher, who calls me up crying, begging for help. Probably nothing to do with this title, because I don't know if the people who called me, one was from Muncie, one was from Brooklyn, one was from out of town. In the last week and a half, I had three of them. Lo yumen ki yesuper, because every Yetzirah we've had until now was public enough that we can deal with it. This, by definition, is something you lock the door, you stay late in the office, and you're good to go. And no one's the wiser. There is nobody that can claim that either they're not affected, they don't have a family member or a neighbor or the chaver sitting next to them in shul or the chavrusa sitting across from them in yeshiva. And although you might have heard all these things, I'm here to discuss some issues concerning the Ashkafa Shabbai, some what I think are practical solutions. And if you discounted it until now, you're going to have to take my word for it when I say that there is no single problem facing the Yechidim in Klal Yisrael and communities at large. There's no bigger problem than this. Nothing even comes close. And although this is a wonderful topic for Shaivavim, as a matter of fact, I bold you instrumental, I spoke about this in Muncie, twice, this past Shaivavim. So it's a very good topic for Shaivavim. Shaivavim comes once a year, and people either didn't attend the shiur or forget. And then the summer comes. The summer is particularly dangerous for this type of Yetzer Hara and allure and activity, simply because that there's a gzeira out there that the men have to be separated from their families all week, and they get to see them on weekends, and they spend many lonely nights away, alone, and left to their own devices. A lot of people I interviewed had a third comment, and this is a practical one, and that is that, in their opinion, internet is here to stay, it's growing, within 5-10 years there's not going to be anybody without it, and therefore, let's face it, we have it in our house and there's nothing we can do. That's the attitude, I think, whether they admit it or not, that's the attitude of most people. And my second disclaimer is that if you don't have it in your house, you're zeicha not to have to have it in your house. And that could be many people sitting here in the audience. Do not get it based on anything I say tonight. To deal with the people who have it. Because the complaints I've received is that, well, the Rabbanim speaking about aren't dealing with reality. I have it in the office, I have it at home, or I have it only in the office, or only at home. But I have it, I have access to it. I have it now on my palm, I have it on my, every cell phone's getting it. I have it, and therefore, if they tell me not to have it, I just close down and it's not going to get it to me. Which is perhaps why we're losing the battle. So, when you quote parts of the shir, I don't want to go on record as, oh, Ravina gave a great share tonight, one cool after another. He spoke about having internet, and internet in your house, and internet. I want to be very clear about this. If you don't have it, don't get it. And if you have it and it's not absolutely necessary, get rid of it. All the Eitzes in the world are still not as good as not having the Eitz of Hara there in the first place. There are many people who fool themselves into thinking they think they need it, and therefore they have it. One fellow told me that he saves at least $30 a month, $40 a month, just in the shopping online that his wife does, the discount she gets online. That's not always true. And it's not the women doing all the shopping. The men do plenty of shopping online. I have been told, this in my, it's a Shalom Bayis shiur, it's a different shmooze. I have been told by many husbands who do follow what's going on that this built-in shopping mall that they have in their house is costing them a lot of money. So it's questionable whether it even saves you any money having it in your house in the long run. And even if it does, $30, $40, $50, $60, $100 a month, even $1,000 a month, it's probably not worth the sakana ruchni for yourself and your family. $10,000 is not worth one aver, certainly thousands of them. So my first plea is that please listen carefully if you must have it. First thing you have to think of is it really necessary or are you fooling yourself? The Pasuk in Chumash promises us that when a Yiddish army goes to battle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come with them to help them. Pasuk also promises that if you don't keep Kedusha in the Machane, and the Machane doesn't only mean a battlefield, an army base, it means a home. Pasuk says, Haya Machanecha Kadosh, La'ira B'chai Evaz Davar, Vishav me'acharecha. Besides the averas we're going to speak about tonight, Allah sasurecha enechem, and all the other horrible averas that follow, to bear in mind that if these averas are being done by anybody in the mishpacha, you automatically, rachman l'tzlan, lose the siyat shmaya that you and we all desperately need in the house. The pasuk promises us, shav me'acharecha. Shav me'acharecha means Hashem will leave. The Shechina will leave the makom. So if you want protection for the house and for the mishpacha, you need the Shechina there. If you want the Shechina there, you have to have a semblance of Kedusha. The more Kedusha, the more Shechina. And we know this, it's a pasuk, but all the Sfarim speak about it. The key to inviting the Shechina in is the Kedusha in the house. The key to Rachman Latzlan driving the Shechina away is keeping the Kedusha level either down or non-existent. That's a frightening thought. And the good news is we can do plenty about it. First rule of thumb you look in Chumash and Parshas Vayeshev, where it discusses the Maisa of Yehuda separating from the Shiftei Kam, marries a Bat Ish Kanani, has two children, Erbainan, they die. You ever stop to wonder, why is it that the incident of Pritzis is described in Chumash only about Yehuda's children? Why is it Yehuda? Not the Shiftei Kam. Why wasn't Yehuda Zeiche to have wonderful children like the rest of the Shvatim? They're so bad, they were killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Hashem donned them in a very high madriga. They were killed. So, did you ever stop to wonder why wasn't Yehuda Zeiche to more? The answer is, perhaps one of the answers, is the fact that Yehuda moved away. Now, I'm not criticizing Yehuda. We have no right to criticize the Elvis or the Shvatim without a Makar, without a Chazal. The facts are, Yehuda moved away from Klal Yisrael. Ganz Klal Yisrael was in one place. 11 Shvatim and Yaakov Avinu. Yehuda moved somewhere else. That's what the Pasuk tells you. He moved away, and he's raising his children. His Yehuda and his two children, and his Eish Yischiel. You can imagine how difficult it was to have 13 Yidden among millions and millions of Goyim. To have 3 Yidden completely alone is a recipe for disaster. The children had nobody to play with, had nobody to be raised with, but the Goyish children next door. They didn't have their cousins there. Mamela should be of no surprise. Again, I'm not saying Yehuda had a choice. There was a reason he had to leave. That a machlekes, that Tainus sent him from Mechiras Yosef. Whatever the reason is, but he left. And the result was that the children didn't have any good chaverim to play with. And this is what happened. So whatever we discuss tonight, and this is the last point we're going to discuss before we get to the internal issue within the home, and that is whatever you do to clean up your house, whatever safeguards you put into place, it's almost a bracha levatala if you don't know where your children are at all times. The only problem is, whereas perhaps maybe 10 or 20 years ago, you just have to be sure that they weren't hanging around real bums to go out to some movies or to do whatever they're doing, getting into trouble. Today, the problem is 10 times is more difficult because he can claim, rightfully so, says, we're not going anywhere. I'm just going to his house. No movies, no girls, nobody's there. Kosher mahajim and mahajim. The other problem is, if he's going to anybody's house, like 90% of the houses, there's an internet connection. And unfortunately, until tonight, after the shiur, that will change, of course, many of these people have unrestricted internet access, and he's going to play at a friend's house. So what are you going to do about that? How do you stop him? So the answer is, you have to stop him before the problem comes. You have to know who his friends are, his or her. I will use the male gender here, only because the boys and the young men have a bigger issue, but the girls are not exempt from this. Girls have to be watched as well. The Eitzahara is not as powerful, but it's there. So if you don't know who these friends are, and you don't know exactly what they're up to, and more so what their parents are up to, and what's going on in the home, you're not doing your job. And it's a very delicate and sensitive issue, which sometimes causes hurt feelings and machlekes. I find it very odd. I once had a shmooze with a father who came to complain to me that his son went to somebody's house, one of his chaverim, and they did some very inappropriate, watched some very inappropriate things there. And the father was furious, and he can't understand what happened to everybody, what's going on in this generation. So I asked him, did you check out the house before you let him go? He said, check out the house. The guy that was next to me in shul. I sent my child to a good yeshiva, and he's in his class. How much more checking do I have to do? I checked out what shul I should daven in and what yeshiva I should send him to. How much more checking can I do? For an intelligent fellow, he's pretty lost. Mama doesn't know what's going on. Doesn't know what's flying in the world. Very sad. So I said, you have to ask. He said, ask. I'm going to insult people. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. This guy that I was talking to, he doesn't want to step on anybody's toes, is a trial lawyer. Doesn't want to step on anybody's toes. He steps on toes all day. He breaks a few every morning. Very, very aggressive for things that are important in life, like money. Very aggressive. When it comes to the ruchnias of children, you know, I don't know. They're going to think I'm a frumach. I don't know. You know, insult my neighbors, my friends. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? The world's upside down. He knows how to be aggressive for the things in life which don't count as much. And he's losing one child after another because he doesn't want to insult anybody. So the message here is not to insult people. The message is to try your best to find out. And if they're not forthcoming with the information, when in doubt, leave it out. And if they get insulted, then understand that you're trying to forestall and save a sakana, potential sakana disaster, then perhaps they shouldn't be your best friends. So the first rule of thumb is, whatever we do in our house, we have to be as proactive, not more proactive, in finding out where is your child going every single time they leave the house. Every single time. One time they fall in, the Yetzer Hara is there already, it's almost all over. This sounds like very tedious work. I told this to one fellow, he says, you know, I work for a living. This is an all-day job. It's true. So I told the guy, you're married to a very firm lady. Happens to be this guy is. So I said, why don't you ask your wife to do it? So he said, oh no, I'm not getting my wife involved in this. I said, why not? I'm sure she'll be happy to. He said, as soon as I get my wife involved, I'm going to have to get it out of the house for myself. That's what he tells me, with a straight face. Maisim b'chayim, unfortunately. I had a lawyer, a partner in a law firm, was running a fairly large law office. I told him that before we discuss what's going on at your home, you have to do this for your office. He has from people working there, you didn't work in there, from Fry, it doesn't make a difference, and it's your computer system. CEOs in the room, please listen. It's Lifnei Iver, if you give them internet access without any filtering or any monitoring. Now, the technical definition of Lifnei Iver is only when he's most probably going to do something wrong. Well, I hate to break the news to you, and I'm not overly pessimistic. He's probably going to do something wrong, and he probably has already. Either a Chesha Mishpat or an Ebenezer. Chesha Mishpat is if you're surfing on the boss's time, that's Geneva. And Ebenezer, I don't have to explain to you. So I spent a few weeks talking him into it. He got an elaborate system for his office. We'll discuss this soon. Calls me back and he says, Rabbi Weiner, I don't know how to thank you. I said, Baruch Hashem, you have the tznius under control? He said, I don't know about the tznius, but I fired three people already. I said, why? He said, I didn't catch Baruch Hashem too much priests yet, but boy, are they wasting their time. So I don't understand why any CEO, CFO of any office would not want to have this. It keeps honest people honest and productivity goes up. It'll probably actually go back to what it's supposed to be 25 years ago. I had a bacher call me up. This maisa was a couple of years back. Called me up. He said it was a ben azmanim, a day or two before he's going back to yeshiva. It was over, I think, a Pesach ben azmanim. Called me up. I didn't know who he was. He said, can I come over? Can he come over? He wants to talk to me. Comes into my study. I'm still in Flappish at the time. He sits down and he was crying for about 25 minutes. I couldn't even hear what he was saying. Looked like a very nice from Bacher. And he told me that 6 months earlier, on Thanksgiving, his parents went away for the weekend. And mind you, they went to a very good place. Not important where, but you could probably figure it out. Very good place. Kula ruchnius, I can't say kula, a little gashmius also, but a lot of ruchnius. No? Can't get better than that? For the next 8 or 9 weeks, going downhill is not even the word. He went downhill so quickly that his Rebbe called the parents. This is a first year Beis Medrash book. Rebbe called the parents. He asked, is everything okay at home? Do you know what happened? They said, what's the problem? He said, well, Shlomi was my best Tzar Talmud, and he hasn't been listening. Mamish spaced out. They asked him questions in the middle of Shir. He doesn't do Chazar. Mamish, bottom of the barrel. They didn't know what to make of it. They said, look, sometimes kids, they float in, they float out. They didn't know what to make of it, and of course, fortunately, they didn't investigate either. This went on, lost an entire winter's man. What happened? Well, you figured it out already. When his parents were away, he decided, this is a very good family. The Rahman al-Islam would never bring a TV into their house, have no video machines, nothing. Everything's no magazines, everything's Altairus HaKadosh. The father's in business, and he thinks he needs a computer at home. Whether he does is debatable. And, of course, he has internet access. And this is a man, by the way, I found it afterwards, who had been to two asifas. So I asked him, I said, what happened with the asifas? He gave me all the same tiritzim. He says, I think it's exaggerated. And not my backyard. And you have to know your kids, he tells me. You have to know your kids. My kids? Mamish, each one's a bigger tachshit than the next. Mamish, each one is a gemaldik. Like, not going to happen over here, but he agreed with me. It is very important for other families to get this. And then he tells me that he once tried a filter for a couple of days and it blocked out too many things. He didn't like it and there was too much of a pain, so he got rid of it. The patience people have with setting up things and systems for the workliness and safety of their children is mind-boggling. The patience is about, like, after the third try, they give up. So I proceeded to tell him that it's a pity he didn't get the message from Rav Matisyo, because we have a child now who's a Shivrei Kelim. And I don't even know if we can get him back. When he came to me sitting crying in my office, he said, it's not pshat, he feels guilty about the Averis and everything it led to. He feels horrible about that also. Even when he did tshuva, he's trying to move on, the thing's floating around in his head. He pashut can't concentrate. And the good news is, there is something called tshuva, and there's tshuva me'ava, and Hashem, there's the delete button on the computer, the delete button on the brain also. And you can get help in these regards, but it's very difficult, it's an uphill battle, and the less you subject yourself to, the easier it is to press the delete button. I've had tens of cases like this, talking budding Tamid Chachamim, wonderful Tamid in the top of their class, who mamash lost everything, because the parents weren't smart enough or were too proud to admit that this is even a possibility that crosses their radar screen. And one balabas, I was a little bit annoyed with him, told me after one of the asifas years ago, I said, what do you think was the most powerful line? And he smiled and he said, I'll tell you the most powerful line, but I think it's much too extreme. It was not only not extreme, but it's so pashut, it's like the linchpin of the whole sugya. What's the line? He said, Matasyo held that if Chazal were around today, then make a gzeira and issa daraisa of yichud with a computer. He thought that was ridiculous. It's a yichud with a computer. It's not even a living being. It's a chafsa, not a gavri. He started explaining to me the whole dumbness why he thought it was ridiculous. Again, for smart professionals, these guys are clueless. People are very brainy where they think it's necessary to apply themselves. Rav Matisyahu doesn't need my haskama or anybody else's haskama. It's 1,000% on the money. You won't find it in Shulchan Aruch. It's a more serious issa yichud than the real issa yichud. I'm not muttering that. But it's much more serious. But the real issa yichud, people still have pride, and talking about two people, Yir Shemaim, it's still lesser. Here, the computer never says anything. There's nobody else there, so it's either you or your conscience, and usually both you and your conscience lose very quickly. So this bacher was followed by many others. I had one this morning in my house. The father called me. He said, I have a very honest and open relationship with my son. My son is having problems with these things, and we need to come and talk to you together. This bacher, due to the honest relationship he has with his father, this is very rare. Very rare. Most people have normal kids, not lamed vovniks. Matter of fact, most parents are clueless. I will add that many bacharim have come to me and they obviously asked me for my word that I wouldn't tell their parents. And after I heard about the activities, I said, your parents don't have a clue? They said, also, mamish clueless. They have no idea. These kids, the good news is, at least they're going to talk to a rav. Bad news is, I can't tell their parents afterwards. So I just hope that the parents come to the asifas and the shiurim and hear about it. And then, much to my dismay, I hear afterwards that they think it was a very important drasha and they're going to tell their neighbors about it right away. So we try. We have to try. Point over here is that what we're going to suggest has to become the norm, that somebody who doesn't have it is outside the pale. The simple two-tiered system that I suggest to everybody, which again you've heard about before, but many people have not gotten around to doing it. Most of you know me here quite well. Most of you have heard me speak many, many times, and I hope you know one thing about me. I don't exaggerate. I'm not a kanoi. I just want to tell over what is the basic course of action for any Yiddish shtub. I said over part of this in a Shabbos Shuvah drasha here in Flatbush about 5 years ago. I said it over this year in Muncie. I waited to my second Shabbos Shuvah there. And Baruch Hashem, right after the Shabbos Shuvah drasha, that Muncie Shabbos, the secretary of the shul wrote up part of the shir and got together a list of internet filters and internet reporting sites and sent it out right away. I brought a copy, which I will hand out after the shir. I made a couple hundred of them. So you can take a few to give them out to your friends. If I had the money, I would drop a million of these from a helicopter. If anybody wants to sponsor it, I think it would be kedai. because many people have heard this and they say, yeah, I never got around to it. Can you give me a suggestion? I have here, I just picked 6 or 7 of them. There are 100 of them. Many of them are free. Many of them cost $19 a month or $9 a month. We're not talking about a big expense. It's a question of life and death. And I say that without exaggeration. The two systems are as follows. Some of the products come with both. Some of them, every company has their mothers and chasernas. Some of them are better at the filtering. And some of them are better at the reporting. Now you'll ask, why do I need a reporting system if I have a filter? The answer is, not every filter is perfect. Some of them filter out 98%, 99%. All the filters, by the way, have passwords. The first rule of thumb is that if you are setting it up, you are to set up the password, then call your wife into the room, tell her to reset the password, and swallow it. If the husband of the house has the password, ma'ilu chachamim b'takanosam. Somebody's got to have the password in case it goes wrong. If you want, you can send me the password. I'll get to that in a minute, and then I'll keep it on my system. If you have the password, and no one's home, and it's one summer evening, then you've done nothing for anybody, because all you got to do is go in, change the settings, and do what you want, and then change it back, and no one's the wiser. So everything is dependent on that password. Have your wife set up if she doesn't want the password. You know, a lot of people, women, have yetzer haras, and they also waste time, like men. And perhaps if everybody had the same restrictions, it would be an even playing field, and give somebody else the password. Do not keep the password. That's the first rule of thumb. You have a filter set up, and you can either, this I'm sure you know, you can whitelist or blacklist. You can just whitelist the sites you want to go on, or blacklist the ones that are supposed to be off limits. But it's not enough, because they don't do a perfect job, and unfortunately they're creating thousands of Trefa sites every single day, which they're trying to use all their devices to get around the filters. And most children know how to get by the filters anyway, and somehow they manage to get a hold of the password once in a while. So on top of the filter is the first thing. That's what I call the Sur Meira. After that is the Asay Toiv to keep people straight, and that is a reporting system. A reporting system simply is a program that reports, and at different levels of reporting, but reports every single website that was visited 24 hours a day. You could just limit it to the web activity and the Google searches. And that report is then sent either daily or weekly to somebody who you have some mirsas from, somebody you're embarrassed in front of. Maybe a chavrusa, maybe a rebbe, maybe a rov. If you don't have that, the filter is probably not going to work too long, because somebody will figure out a way around it, and somebody will figure out a bypass at some level. If you have a filter and a reporting system, then you have a half a chance. Still not perfect. Perfect is, get it out of your house. But if you need it in your house, and you really need it, these two things have to be in place. They're either free or $9 a month, as I mentioned, $20 a month, whatever it is, a small price to pay. Most of them are downloadable, and you can set them up yourself. I've offered, and the offer stands over here, and if you take, please take 4 or 5 copies home and bring it to your shul. My offer stands for anybody here, or anybody in the world. I have people that I'm covering from California to New York. If you can't find somebody you're uncomfortable enough with, that, everybody understand that? Somebody you're uncomfortable enough with to monitor your activity, I volunteer for the job. As it is now, every morning, I get a bunch of emails from people, some of them I don't even know. It takes me about 10 seconds to look over the report, because the report flags the different activity into different codes and red flags, and gives me a summary. Report looks good. Report needs review. Report really needs review. It's fabulous. There have been many, many fine B'nai Torah who, unfortunately, I don't like using the word addicted. What does addicted mean? Addicted means you have Yetzer Hara for something. Call it what you want. Call it addicted. Call it Yetzer Hara. Call it whatever you want, but call a spade a spade. And that is that the only time you're going to stop doing this is if your Rav actually gets the emails and looks at them and then calls you up. And I have one fellow who recently signed up about 2 months ago. How did he get to me? I never met the guy. Maybe I met him once before. He walked into the shul after Meirv. He said, can I speak to you? I said, go ahead. He said, no, privately. So he waited about a half hour until I finished with the other shilas. He sat down. I'm a regular card-carrying member of the Frum community. My children are in the best yeshiva. I'm a lawyer, I make a lot of money, I learn my Def Yomi every day, and I'm addicted to internet. It's quite a resume. And I need your help, and somebody told me you spoke about this past Shabbat Shuvah. I'd like to sign up for your program. I said, that's fine, only on Manasseh. If the report's not good, I'm going to call you up and scream at you. Screaming doesn't know it's good, but Mutzer, Shmuz, whatever you want to call it. But if you're going to buck that, and you're going to hate me for it, you're going to avoid me, then we're not going to accomplish anything. So he said, no, I'm a Kabul. I was told already by other people using the system that it works quite well, and I need help. It's been another 7 months after that. What took you so long? What brought you here tonight? It took a lot of guts. You came in person. Most of these guys call me on the phone. I don't know who they are. He told me something I've heard often also, and that is that my wife recently found out, and my marriage is on the hook. That's after they find out. Sometimes they don't find out for years, because I said, how did you elude the long clause of the law so long? He said, I just stay in the office. I'm a lawyer. Nobody ever looks at me strange when I tell them I'm in the office for 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Little did my wife know that I'm actually finished, especially during the recession, at about 4 in the afternoon. And that's after I started working at 3. So I said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been spending time surfing the net. So during the daylight hours and people are around, I stop and waste my time. And after 8, 9 o'clock at night, I have myself an interesting time. So his wife insisted that he come and speak to me. Rabbi Sai doesn't have to wait that long. And he's now been on the system for about 2 months. I get a report every single week. Good news is, many of them were good. Bad news is, about 3 weeks ago, the top of the page says, report needs close review. Baruch Hashem, they don't show me the report what he actually saw, or else I wouldn't ask for the reports. But they give me the names of the websites, and I know what's going on in the world. And boy, did it need close review. So I sent them back an email, and I said, please call me ASAP. The understanding over here is that if this happens and I call you, we have to take this seriously. And he said, the truth is that I'm having tremendous busyness on this, and it's going to be better. And the last 4 or 5 reports have been excellent. Does that mean he won't fall in ever? No. But if he falls in, he knows he has explaining to do. This is a simple usage of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai's famous instructions to his Talmidim. Halavai shehei mera basav adam. Aleichem. If we can't muster up the Yir Shamayim, and I feel in this Yetzirah it's very hard to muster up the Yir Shamayim, so have a basav adam do it. So the accounting part of this is extremely important. Chachma b'gayim taimin. The Goyim in this country realize the country is mamish falling apart from this. They realize it themselves. As bad as things were in the 60s and 70s, nothing compared to what's going on now. And the Goyim realize they came up with some very, very good solutions. E-Blaster, for the reporting end, is so sophisticated. Again, you can check off as many as you want. You'll probably only want to check off the searches and the actual sites visited. You can check off more if you want. So I'm sending one every day. So I don't want to report every day. Once a week is Daiva Heiser. Couldn't believe it. They have settings for every hour. Do you realize that the guy in my mock here, that somebody needs a report every hour? They're right. Point is, do this tonight. Do it when you think that you actually have a cheshek to take care of it. I mentioned a few chalzals and a few rambams. Just so we know what we're dealing with over here. Rambam brings down, "En l'chadavra b'chalotayra kulo shukasha l'roiv ha'am ela lifresh min arayis." This bachar I had in my house this morning. I spoke to his father and him separately. Why should I embarrass the son in front of the father or vice versa? So when the father left, I sent him to the backyard. The son comes and sits down. And he said, what's getting me down, the worst weapon of the Yetzer is depression. And you can take a good bachar who's learning well and has potential to really be a phenomenal Talmid Chacham. He's ruining his mind, and he gets depressed about what he's doing, and he fills his mind with garbage, and it's hard to get out of the depression. So of course, the first question he asked me is, did I ever hear about this problem from anybody else? What is it? 18-year-old bachar, he doesn't know what I hear. So did I ever hear this? Am I the first kid who ever called him about this? So I said, no, you're number 652. Kid, mom is Sabrochen. He thinks he's crazy. So I said, let me assure you, you are very, very normal. I said, the only thing that's not normal about you is you tell your parents. I said, I'm very impressed, but everything else is very normal. Mayasa ben v'layechta. By the way, when I say ben, I mean young kids, teenagers, and adults. Mayasa ish v'layechta, in this case. It's the Yetzer Hara that the Rambam brings from all the Gemaras. It's impossible to beat if you meet the Yetzer Hara head on. The trick over here is to get rid of the Yetzer Hara, not to enter into the same room or the same arena. The Rambam says again, "Ein lecha darba b'chol atera kula shu kasha l'roiva amel lifresh min arayas." Amru chachamim b'shash and estab Yisrael arayas bachu kiblu mitzvah zu b'tarumus b'vachia. When they got the mitzvahs of arayas, a prisham arayas, Klai Yisrael was crying. This is the dardea. Shenemar b'chol mishpachaisa v'aliske mishpachas. Amru chachamim gezel v'arayas nasha shaladam esavalehem. It's a natural, built-in Yetzirah. It's extremely strong for both Gezel and Arayas. Afichach, roi la'adam lachav Yitzchah v'adav ezeh lahag alatzim v'gadushi yisera malshav v'tahira v'bedas nechayne g'day lirotza mehem v'yizar min ha'yichud shehu ha'garim ha'gadol. And the Rambam speaks to internet use. Should be careful, the first and foremost problem a person will have is once they're stuck in the matzav. If she or it is in the room, you're dead in the waters. So the Rambam is talking about she, I'm talking about the computer. It's the same thing. The computer is far worse. The Noshim Sitkanias who are listening over here, I hate to put too much on you. I can't overemphasize how difficult this struggle is. I don't want to create shalom bias issues. If you dance around this issue, you don't want to bring it up because you're worried about shalom bias issues and you don't attend to the problem you think might exist, you're not doing a service to your husband. If by bringing it up, he tells you to mind your own business, then you know he's guilty. Then you call his rov. And if he doesn't have a rov, as he dives in five different shuls, make sure he finds one. You cannot win this battle alone, and he can't win it alone. He needs a rebbe or a rov. He needs somebody who can lean on him a little bit. The first thing that the Nashim Tzidkanias have to do is, well, they first have to make sure they don't have a problem. And after that, they have to make sure that these things are getting done in the house. I depend heavily on the Nashim Tzidkanias to make sure that the internet is out of the house if it doesn't belong there. And if it's there, to make sure a filter and an accounting program is on there. After that, you have to daven, both for your husband and your children, and the husbands in the room should daven for their children, that if you kasher your house, they stay away from chaverim, from such houses that weren't kashered yet. The fact that Pyro was willing to send out the men for a 3-day vacation for Avodas Hashem, Abba Yashav in Divrei HaGod in the Sefer HaChumash says in Parshas Bo, Kasher Paro Hitzi L'Meisha L'Kein L'Chuna Advaram V'Ivdu Es Hashem. Why do you want to give in? Paro was actually, according to Abba Yashav, thrilled to send the men. Why? B'tuach Haya Hashem Abonis Yeshiru Keshirus B'Tarbis Mitzrayim. If we keep the women here involved in the culture and we send the men away, Azein Erech L'Avedas HaGavarim. So then, even if the husbands do their Avedah without the women, they're never going to survive long term with their ruchnius. Kamen yasu l'tarbetz Mitzrayim. When they come back, the women will convince them. And he quotes the famous Medrash in Bereishis Rabba, the Maisa b'chassid echad that was married to a chassida, to a tzadekis. They didn't have children. They decided to get divorced. And halach zev and asa rasha achas. He married a rishanta, and she made him into a rasha. She, this tzadekis, married a rasha, made him into a tzadik. And the Medrash concludes, you see from here, Shakol Min Ha'isha. She is in charge of the ruchnius of the house. Certainly if Kedusha's Habayas. Maybe the man's in charge of the Chinuch and the Talmud Torah, perhaps. She needs to egg him on with that as well and encourage him. When it comes to this particular topic of Tznius in the house, the women must be in charge because they have less of a built-in Yetzirah. And the men I have found, even good boys and good men, get very stubborn when it comes to this. Surprisingly. And when they know there's an issue or potential issue. And by the way, if you never had an issue, that doesn't mean the potential is not lurking. All of you have a circle of friends. There's a chayv kaddish to do something now before there's no semblance of kedusha left in Klai Yisrael. And I don't say that lightly. The shock that I have every week where I get a new case is the level and sophistication of the people that I'm dealing with. Keep in mind, the people that come to me are so from and so upset about what's going on, they're willing to talk to their rav. That means that there are thousands of people, I hope not from my community, who would never even bring us up in the rav. It's none of my rabbi's business. I don't talk to my rabbi unless there's a levaya going on. So we're talking about a very high echelon of people who are interested in their ruchnius, interested in their learning, They're just uncomfortable with the sakana there, so they're not facing the facts. They don't realize what the sakana is. Or if they were way past the sakana, they don't realize what their kids are being subjected to. It is kemat, I hate to sound pessimistic. If you have unrestricted internet in the house, internet that's not filtered and reported, both, I would say there's a higher than 90% chance people have been ishul in your house already. And if it hasn't happened yet, there's more than 90% chance it will happen. And if it's not happening at home, it's happening in the office. Many people complain to me, they work in corporate America. A guy said, I can't put this stuff in my thing, I gotta go to HR, and you know, it's complicated. It is complicated. And you know what? The same people that are brave enough to go to their bosses and demand a raise, and I ask them that, I said, how difficult is it to get a raise? They don't ask. I gotta go to this boss, and he goes to that boss, then we have a meeting, and then we go to HR, the whole thing. I said, do you do it? So, of course I do it, I need a raise. So it's all a question of priorities. And I know how tight the job market is. If you cannot get it fixed and they won't cooperate with you, go to a different office. It's not worth the Olam Haba. I told this to one fellow who was having a problem, and he said, Rebbe, I need a panasa. I said, everybody needs a panasa. Maybe this is your key to more siyat d'shmaya panasa. Maybe if you listen to the pasuk, and the pasuk says, shav me'acharecha, maybe if you get the shechina back in your life, you'll have more hatzlacha. And when I gave the drasha this past the Rosh Hashanah, guys came over to me afterwards, they said, you know, there's one thing I didn't touch. I spoke about the office and the home. Now you have internet on your phones and on your iPods and on everything else. Baruch Hashem, again, Chochma Bagayim Timing. Just last month, they came out with a very good program that tracks the phones and the iPods also. Surf around the net in a good environment and find the program. As soon as they keep tracing things up, there are some honest people in America who want to keep up with what's going on, and they're doing a good job. Again, we haven't solved the problem. We're getting there, but we haven't solved the problem. The HR will continually come up with technology to try to get us sucked in. And Baruch Hashem, there are some good people out there who are trying to keep up with the technology. You got to be aware of what's going on and what the sakana is. You got to give your children a fighting chance in life. And the ingredients for failure and everything to do with Kedusha and Talmud Torah and Mitzvahs and Yerushalayim is tznius. If a tznius is there, they have a fighting chance. If it's not, they don't have a fighting chance. Start with the basic chinuch at home. You'd be amazed how much time people waste on the internet. They give you a breakdown of all the sites and a breakdown of the time usage. A massive bitul terror this is causing is ayin v'neira, but I'm not here to talk about that. I'll sometimes look at the reports, and if I see the guy spent hours and hours and hours, and the guy's close to me, I said, you know, you're doing pretty good in the sneeze, so let's talk about your learning. I said, how do you find time to learn? He said, well, my internet is down. It's a very sad commentary. Well, my internet is down. The once in 7 months when lightning strikes his house. So it's causing tremendous harbonus in the community. Our tznius and our Talmud Torah, that's like the two pillars of Yiddishkeit. And it's all being swept under the carpet by one evil machine. And if we don't get this under control, I don't want to think about what the next generation is going to look like. If you believed all of what I said, or 3/4 of what I said, I'm very, very content. I will tell you that I also am underreporting the problem. You will never know this, because as much as you talk to your friends, the Rabbanim hear more about the dangers and the fallout than you will ever hear. I hear more in a month than you will hear in 20 years. So you have to take my word for it. This is a silent killer. I've never seen it so bad. And my only optimistic note, which I'd like to end on, is that it's a sure simon that the Mashiach is coming very soon, but the Yetzer realizes that very soon he's going to be out of business. So Hashem gave him full usage of every ammunition he get his hands on to bring the last of the Yidden down. So he's given full, he can't have any more shlita than this, there's nothing left. Our job is to beat him, so when the Mashiach walks in, there's still some heiliger from Yidden who have minds that are focusing on Kedusha v'Torah. And Mitzvah Hashem will all be zeichet to see that with Karav.